This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah! Woo! It's Liam Payne and Zed with Get Low. That's right. CliffCentral.com. Wednesday morning. Let's find out what's happening in the news with Mubs, shall we? What do you got for us today, my buddy?
Well, Gareth, Libya's UN-backed government say that they are investigating what has become growing allegations that hundreds and thousands of African refugees and migrants passing through Libya are being bought and sold in modern-day slave markets.
Yeah, I saw video of this. Ooh. There was video on the internet of these people being auctioned off. They were selling people.
Yeah. There have also been pictures circulating of people being held at gunpoint. They are literally chained.
Mm-hmm. It's like what you see in the Roman times, you know, where they would have a stage.
Yeah, like that show, Spartacus.
Yeah, they'd have a stage and then they'd bring up all these, mostly men. They'd also bring up women, but it was mostly men. And then you would choose the fittest, healthiest looking men to work for you and you'd pay for them. And those would be your slaves.
I have seen a couple of people arguing amongst themselves on Twitter when these pictures surface, because these pictures are horrific to look at. Mm. And then some people will say, oh no, it's fake news. You guys are just trying to rile people up. But according to reports, the trade works by preying on the tens of thousands of people who risk everything to get to Libya's coast and then across the Mediterranean into Europe. The route that they're using has been described as the deadliest route on earth. Libya is the main gateway for people attempting to reach Europe by sea. More than 150,000 people make their way, or rather have made their way crossing there over the past 3 years. Yeah. So these people are refugees from several African countries. They have fled war, they fled poverty and unemployment in their own countries. And then they take this journey looking for a better life in Europe. There is no proper registration process for the tens of thousands of refugees that are arriving in Libya. And reports go on to further say that the business of detention centers is unsupervised in some parts of the country. And stories of torture, rape, and forced labor have now emerged.
But who's buying these people?
Well, Ben,
I'm pretty sure that could be tracked.
Yes. So some of the survivors have been speaking to the UN's mitigation agency, and they have relayed accounts of what they have observed and what has happened to them. When they arrive there, they have people who use smartphones to connect them to people smugglers to get them to Libya's coast. And that is where they get sold. They are held for ransom. They are used as forced labor or for sexual exploitation. So these are the purposes for which these people are being essentially human trafficked. The International Organization for Migration says that trade in humans has become so normalized that people are being bought and sold in public for as little as $400. So these markets are happening publicly.
So apparently there are more people living in slavery now than there ever were in history.
Wow.
How's that for it? Have we moved forward? I always say, you know, humans, we've got better. We live in a technological age. We know more about each other. We have information. There's the internet. We can share stories. People can make change happen. And you hear about that. And if that's true, I don't know that it is true. But if there are more slaves around today than in all of history, then we've gone backwards, not forwards.
Yeah, which is depressing to hear. Now, Leonard Doyle is from the International Organization for Migration. And he has said that as shocking as these stories seem to us, the reason that the slave trade can still happen is because there really is no rule of law across much of Libya. Oh. They say that it is a country as big as France with a lot of space there. Migrants are coming there in their tens of thousands because they see a promise of a new life when they get there. Yeah. He explains that when they arrive in Libya, they get off a bus. They are quickly put into a kind of murder machine. Oh. Or an extortion machine. They are robbed of their possessions. Their families are called. They are forced. They are tortured. And, you know, a lot of the women, they end up being sold for a lot more than the men because, you know, their use is in the sex trade.
But as Ben says, who's buying them?
This is the good question. And
where did they take them? Which country's the biggest importer of slaves?
Oh, that is something that I would have to look up for you, Gareth, because, you know, they say that a lot of these migrants are coming from several African countries. I know that Nigeria was named as one of the countries. Hmm. Which other country was
named? Here are the countries with the most slaves.
Okay.
All right. Uzbekistan, estimated population in modern slavery, 1.2 million people. Pakistan, estimated population in modern slavery, 2.1 million. So they come in third. Second place goes to China. Estimated population of modern slavery is 3.2 million people. And India is the biggest slave nation in the world. They have 14.3 million people in modern slavery in India.
Oh, I see what How's you mean. That, huh? I thought you were asking, like, where are these African slaves coming from that they end up in this trafficking situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, so now Libya are saying that, okay, they will launch an investigation into these allegations because they have been growing on social media and now a lot of people are starting to speak about this.
Sure. Yeah. That's pretty horrific. I mean, there's so many ways we're advancing and then this just pulls us right back. All right. There's nothing else to be said about this. It's just so disturbing.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so if you are a president who has won his second term, or rather second election to serve his second term, and you plan to have your inauguration, you would assume that, you know, oh, well, it will probably be a good day for me and everything will go swimmingly and everything will be fine,
right? You've done it before. It's your second inauguration.
You've done it before. It's your second time around. You are the president according to the last election that was held. But not for Kenya's Uhuru Kenyatta.
Uh-oh.
There was chaos and unrest ahead of the inauguration ceremony yesterday of President Uhuru Kenyatta. He was officially sworn in as Kenya's president for a second term, but the inauguration itself saw various protests that unfolded as a result. There were also various heads of state and dignitaries that attended. Here's the problem.
How embarrassing.
Ethnic division in Kenya still remains at alarming levels,
right,
with Kenyatta being criticized for his role in creating rifts between his own Kikuyu people and that of the opposition leader Raila Odinga, who belongs to the Luo people. Now, the elections that led to Kenyatta claiming victory had to be done twice after the August 8 poll was annulled by the Supreme Court. The reasons that were stated there were that there were irregularities and illegalities in the election process. A rerun was done in October. Kenyatta claimed victory, 98% victory. The only problem with that was that only 39% of Kenya's 48 million citizens cast their vote. So there's Kenyatta yesterday being sworn in, you know, enjoying his inauguration. And then about an hour after that, Raila Odinga said, actually, I am going to hold my own inauguration.
Oh my God.
Where I am going to be sworn in as president on December the 12th. So I don't know, Kenya. Does this mean that you're going to have two presidents now? This is very confusing.
This is the madness of, like, you know, these tin pot countries where you've got fake, unfree, unfair elections. Is that you can have these kinds of debates because there's no rule of law. There's no one who can say for sure that they're president. Just remember this when it comes to why our election has to be free and fair, because otherwise you don't know for sure that the election result stands, that it's true, that it's honest, that it's verifiable. And the moment that kind of doubt creeps in, you can have two people inaugurating themselves as president and nobody's going to bat an eyelid because nobody knows who to trust anymore.
These were his exact words, Raila Odinga.
The ANC are listening to this when it comes to their elective conference in December. Because there's already rumor of vote rigging and, you know, destabilization attempts and branches going to court to have certain things declared illegal and legal and members being thrown out and members being brought in. I hope they're paying attention to this. Because you know what will happen? You'll have Cyril going, yay, I won. And you'll have Nkosazana going, yay, I won. And we'll all be going, huh?
Well, I foresee further troubles for the people of Kenya if this is the way forward, because Raila Odinga said that on December the 12th, we will have an assembly that will swear me in.
Right.
Which sounds like it will mean further protests, further riots. I don't know.
And this is Kenya. They were actually the most stable country on the east coast of Africa. The eastern side of Africa. You know, everybody was talking about them, Silicon Savannah and all the rest of it. This was the place to invest in. Look at how quickly it's all gone backwards for them. It's sort of like when we were the heroes of the world for a while. And then Jacob Zuma became our president.
All right. You were asking about the you were asking about the water situation in the Western Cape.
All right, tell us about that.
Well, unfortunately, drought conditions continue to maintain a strange hold in various provinces. Yeah. Worst affected is the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. They've actually gone to the trouble of compiling the driest countries in the world.
Uh-oh.
And we are ranked 30th on this list of driest countries in the world.
Ugh.
Afghanistan, Ethiopia, and Chad are listed as the top 3 water-scarce countries in the world.
No.
South Africa is facing its own crisis, and it's currently ranked the 30th driest in the
world. No.
I know. Now, earlier this week, in fact, just a couple of days ago, the Water and Sanitation Minister, Nomvula Mokonyane, she threatened to turn off municipalities' taps because of unpaid bills.
Yeah, there's one municipality in the Free State that owes R1 billion.
Jeez, Gareth. Collectively, she says that they owe her department more than 10 billion rand collectively.
There's one municipality in the Free State that owes R1 billion. Now, you're charging people, right? They're paying their rates and taxes.
They are. They have no choice.
Okay, so how do you get to owing R1 billion?
I don't even want to say mismanagement of funds, but that money is not ending up where it's supposed to be.
No!
Is that just your answer and the way you feel about this entire thing?
It's not me.
Now, here's a scary thought. At least a third of the world's population does not have access to fresh water for at least 1 month in a year. That's a third of the world's population. And according to UCT's Dr. Kevin Winter, he has warned that this is exactly where Cape Town is headed if consumption isn't slashed. For a month in a year, no access to fresh water.
What is it going to take for the entire world to understand that things like water, things like the fact that we have slaves in 2017 is what we should be focusing on? Our sights on, not, what's trending on Twitter and who wore what. And
what's it going to take, Sia?
Like, I'm done. I don't know.
Try, you'll find there's no need to cry. This place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow.
Seriously?
Come on, Sia.
And there are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living,
right,
make a little space.
Right, yes, correct.
To make a better place.
What must we do? We must
heal the world. Just make it a better place. For you and for me.
Everybody put your lighters up.
All right.
Wave your hands from side to side.
All right.
I love you.
All right.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking about potential solutions, Sia, the United Nations World Water Development has reported that wastewater remains the biggest untapped resource to help ease the burden of water scarcity around the globe. But the bulk of it gets released into the environment without it being treated.
Yep.
And UN officials say that water pollution is also worsening in many rivers across the continent, which is part of the problem.
I wouldn't drink from the river in front of my house if I had 5 days to live.
Mm.
I would not. That water, sometimes.
No.
What you're thinking? I've never seen actual turds washing. But I've smelt something ungodly in that water. And this is a river that feeds into the Crocodile River, which feeds into the Kruger National Park, which eventually empties into the sea somewhere in Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through some of our most protected and special and precious natural resource in terms of the geography of this country. Right? This little river that flows in front of my house goes that way. And it is full of filth. Filth. I wonder what kind of people just dump their shit in the river. I want to know who those people... They're the same people, probably, who dump their shit on the side of the roads. If you drive around this country, and it depresses the hell out of me, because if we have respect for ourselves, if we keep saying we're a country where human dignity matters,
mm-hmm.
human dignity starts with the way you treat your own environment. The way your immediate environment is kept. And if you live in litter and squalor, don't expect anyone to treat you with dignity. You don't have that right anymore because you've proven that you're comfortable living in filth, like a wild beast of the field. Like, and when I say the beast of the field, I don't mean the humble ass. I mean the ox.
Fuck. Like, I just... You know, if we were saying that a third of the world does not have access to amazing sneakers, we can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
A third of the world...
doesn't have running clean water. Yeah. It's a problem.
Y'all, let's not roll our eyes next time we see Angelina Jolie posing in front of the United Nations building. Maybe let's just pay attention to what she has to say.
I pay attention to... How dare you? I've been listening to Angelina Jolie.
Oh, really? Do you?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I have.
Then I'm just speaking for myself here.
Yes. Are you kidding?
What's her most important and special message?
That you must adopt a child from every continent.
Oh.
Yes. That, isn't that right, Ben?
Yeah, if you're into that.
I'm sorry I doubted you guys. Hmm. You're really on the ball with these things.
All right, back to you, Mubs.
All right, so interesting conversations took place in Parliament yesterday. The first one being that Parliament's ad hoc committee on the funding of political parties approved the political party funding bill yesterday.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Well, Gareth, the 11-member multi-party committee, they were charged with inquiring into and making recommendations on the funding of political parties represented in national and provincial elections,
uh-huh.
with a view to introducing amended legislation. They had to consider a model of public and private funding for political parties and the desirability of regulating private funding in all its forms, including investment entities owned by political parties. So essentially, it's a case of the people gotta know. Who is funding these political parties? Who is investing in them? How much money is being put into them? Yeah. Now, the committee has recommended a repeal of the existing legislation, and they have developed a new framework to address the weakness that has been identified.
Hmm.
Now, this conversation that took place yesterday is not the end of the road for the bill. The public will have an opportunity to comment on the bill after it is tabled, and then it has to go through the process in the National Assembly as well. But essentially, it's a case of letting the people know where the DA, the EFF, yes. the ANC are getting their bank
from. Yeah, we want to know. People are got to know, like Mabali says. Where are you guys getting your money, right?
Yeah, who yes. are these investors that keep you all running year in and year
Thank
out?
Thank you very much. We want to know their names, and we want to know where they get their money. Because if it was all clean, we would already know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mabali runs a shebeen. She decides she wants to support the local ANC branch, so she gives them money. That's cool. But if she got her liquor license because she gave them a donation, that's not cool. See what I mean? If you're some rich multi-billionaire from Qatar and you're funding the EFF, we want to know why. We want to know what's in it for you.
Yeah, and we want to know what the political party promised you in return for that's that money, right. because nothing in life is for free.
That's correct. And if there are favors being done, sorry. Those people in politics, they work for us. No one else should be paying them. They shouldn't be getting special deals, backhanders, or anything like that. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, and then the second thing that happened in Parliament yesterday was that the basic... The basic education, you know, basic yeah. is not a good
no, it's,
synonym
it's exactly
these
what
days.
That, it's exactly what that department is. So basic.
So the basic education deputy minister, Enver Sirti, He was briefing Parliament's Basic Education Portfolio Committee on the draft bill that has been proposed, which has received a lot of criticism because apparently it limits the power of school governing bodies, also known as SGBs, mm-hmm. to appoint staff and decide language and admission policies in school. The draft bill blocks schools from using their admission policies to exclude certain learners. It also requires schools to consider different cultural and religious beliefs when crafting codes of conduct.
Allah Akbar, death to America.
Mm-hmm. Now, Enver Sirti says that the proposed changes to the Schools Act...
Is he the one who started Egoli and then... No, that's Charlene Sirti Richards.
No. That is an entirely different relation.
Got the wrong one.
No, Sirti says that the proposed changes to the Schools Act must be considered in the context of social justice and the ethos of the Constitution. Basically, they wanted to put on hold on, you know, schools getting to decide how and who they admit according to what religious background you're from or what language you speak. I don't know. So,
well, you know what? You gotta hope that you get your child into a school. These days, it's really tough. Some parents have to make sure that their kids are on the list, like when they're born. Do you know about this?
Yes, waiting lists.
Yeah. I mean, if you are one of those people who's thinking of having kids and you want to send them to a nice school, well, before you even make the kid with your wife, you need to have the discussion and put them on the waiting list as X Smith. You know, so that you can book a place. Because even when they're born, it's too late. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Davidson. We've just looked at the list now, and I'm afraid there isn't space. But little Timmy isn't even born yet. Yeah, little Timmy's not going to get a place at our school. You should have really registered him at conception. Conception? I didn't even know about this. It was a mistake. Well, then, so is his education going to be, I'm afraid, Mrs. Davidson.
It's going to be a mistake.
Little Timmy's going to become a street sweeper. That's all that's available to him because he couldn't get on our fancy schools list.
These things are intense.
It's tough, man. You think as a parent your biggest worry is like, how am I going to be able to afford it? Hell no. Because there's no amount of money that'll get you onto a list in some schools.
Mm.
Yeah? So you've got to have a plan B. All right. That's why you're going to see a whole lot of little white kids at township schools soon. You're going to see a whole lot of black kids in the fancy white schools. You watch. I mean, it's already kind of mixed up, but it'll be even more so. Because there's going to be parents who... It's going to all be about how organized your parents are. And if your parents are disorganized, you'll get to a shitty school. And you'll go, Mommy, why am I at the school with all the people who stab each other? Because, Johnny, Mommy and Daddy didn't register you on time. Mm. We didn't book a place for you at that school, so you're in the gangster school. Have fun at school, honey. Mommy, please don't give me...
Don't forget your shank.
Please don't, yeah, please give me sandwiches, because they shank me at school.
That's some real street education.
Mom, please put some poison in the polony so that we can kill that big kid, Dave. He keeps threatening me with violence.
My cousin is listening now, and she just messaged me, and she said she put her son down at St. Peter's when she was 3 months pregnant.
Yeah, you see? Mm, I'm not even making it up.
And now he's, I think he's like 4 now.
Yeah.
By the time your cousin's child matriculates, she will have parted with billions and billions and billions and billions. Yo, guys, these schools are not cheap.
And you know
cheap,
what else? The schools now do interviews with you. Schools check you out. I mean, how the hell? Let me tell you.
They judge you as parents as well. Well,
I'm so glad I'm not a parent. Tell you something. This is outrageous. These schools, the headmaster calls you in, sits you down as a prospective parent.
Mm-hmm.
Some person who has a teaching degree sits you down and says, all right, let's check you out. How much you got in the bank? How much time do you spend with your child?
Mm-hmm.
What are your priorities? Are you working too hard that you can't spend 3 hours a day with your child? Well, you know, I do a lot of international business. Out! Get out! You and your kid, you're out. The mummy comes in. She's like, well, you know, I'm going to make sure that he goes to sport and all of that stuff, but I do have my own business to run. And then the guy goes, own business, huh? Scratch makes a little note next to the in business column.
Is it like a little dollar sign?
A little thing that says she's prioritizing money over the child. I got her. Right. Oh. That's good. Who's disciplining your child? Neither of us. We believe in letting our child be a free spirit. Out!
If you really want to just have a great time, offer to go with your niece.
If you
want to
have a great time, educate your child under a tree.
Maybe not.
No, I mean in the fresh air. I'm for this. In the fresh air, they're getting that sunlight, that vitamin D.
Have you met these kids who do homeschooling? They're always a little bit weird, but some of them are happy. They're happier people. Amanda's shaking her head. You met these homeschooled kids, right?
They're crazy.
Yeah.
What? Right. No, guys, don't do that. Why? Why are they suddenly crazy? The only difference is that they're not cooped up in a classroom with 30 other children, but they're doing the exact same thing, one-on-one with a tutor. They keep the same hours. They get given homework.
Yeah.
Why? What makes them crazy?
Far less chance of getting bullied as well.
But I think
there you go.
As someone who was bullied, I used to hate school at a point, and I wanted to be homeschooled. But I look back at it now, and it makes me a better, more balanced, fully developed human being.
You know, the fact is, you're going to meet a lot of adults later on in life who are going to do the equivalent of bullying.
Yeah, that's why I'm a badass bitch.
Yeah, look at you.
That's why I cut you off in traffic.
That's right, sister.
That's why I have trolley rage.
Listen to this. Here's a good parent. Someone says, my daughter Erin's final third year zoology exam result, 94%. What the fuck happened to the other 6%?
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
Hey man, you're the parent, you get to ask.
Right. Neil says, I can't hear you guys. Is there something wrong with the stream? No, just reload the app. Listen, there are problems with signal just about everywhere in South Africa, and mostly they're trying to improve it, because yesterday I got a call from my cell phone network that I use, and they told me I've been overpaying
my
bill.
That's an amazing position
to be in. I meant to feel good about this. They said, very sweet woman. So I go, I normally wouldn't answer a number I don't know, but I was sitting in my office and my phone rang. So I thought, all right, well, let me see who this is. It might be someone interesting.
Hello, is that Mr. Cliff?
Yes.
Is your ID number?
She starts rattling off my ID number. I'm like, oh no, it's going to be someone from Teddy Sales.
No, I'm not trying to say anything, sir. I'm from Vodacom, and we just wanted to check with you because we think you're overpaying and you're not getting enough gigs of data.
So I said, look, I'm not interested. I'm fine. I'm happy. I've got a lot to do today. All right, thank you very much for calling. And she goes, no.
No.
So I go, well, what?
I can save you R1,400 a month.
So I'm like, no way. Truly, she put me on a package that's cheaper by like R1,000. And I'm getting, instead of 1 gig, I'll get 20 gigs of data.
That's
in the month.
Outrageous.
Isn't that great?
How?
So I do feel good about that, but what I feel bad about is how many months have I been overpaying?
Oh, well.
You know what I mean? Because if you can offer this to me now, do the maths.
They probably have an algorithm. It's like, okay, well, we've mocked him for 2 years. Let's tell him about his actual plan.
You stupid.
This is what she wanted to say to me.
You're a moron, and we've been overcharging you double. Every month, and you're a moron, and we felt sorry for you, so we decided we'd call you up and change it.
Thank you so much.
Are you nearing your upgrade?
I don't get an upgrade. I said to her, what, does this mean a new device? Because that's what you think when you think upgrade, right? She goes, no. She goes, no new device. Verboten. You don't get a new device. You get some free gigs of data. So I said to her, cool.
Imagine.
I'm up for that. But sometimes it pays to listen to these people, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I kind of enjoyed that. So I never take those calls. Yesterday I did. I was pleased I did.
Well, enjoying it is one thing. Well, saving money is another.
I mean, I'm going to be saving money from now on. But up to now, they've probably been ripping me off.
Yeah.
There we go. You live and you learn. Ben, somebody sent me a picture of Gary Player and their two children. This is from Dino. He says, I had a memory come up on Facebook. Exactly 7 years ago, we met Mr. Gary Player while having a family lunch in Magaliesburg. My 5-year-old brother sat on his lap, and then asked Mr. Player if he's rich, to which he replied, yes, I am extremely wealthy. I have many grandchildren.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. What a guy.
That's Gary. Hey, Ben, don't you just, every time you hear these stories, you love him more.
More from Gary on Thursday.
Yes, you've got some interview stuff.
I've got lots of interviews to share with you on Thursday on my podcast here, The Bounce Show.
The guy that, here's something interesting. The guy that predicted the 2008 financial crisis also predicted the world will have a water shortage. He's focusing all of his trade on water. And remember, there weren't a lot of people who predicted that global financial crisis. Why no money show today? No Anthea. Is she looking into Bitcoin? Ha ha. She's on a Monday. Kenya voting is a perfect use case for blockchain technology. Think about it. A public distributed ledger with anonymous usernames, but every user can individually verify their vote in the correct column. Michael from Stellenbosch. Well, that, Michael, is exactly what Vinnie Lingham is trying to figure out with Civic. A way for us to use blockchain technology in order to figure out whether something's true or not. And it'll be publicly verifiable. And that's the way that future elections will take place. Isn't that great news? So at the moment it's a disaster, but we're going to figure it out. All right, anything else in the news?
Just lastly, can we talk a little bit about gym etiquette mistakes that we possibly make?
When you're clapping the gym butt?
Yes, yeah, when you are clapping the gym
butt. Are any of these the ones we've already covered about, like, balls and shaving in the basin? And
selfies in the weight area.
This is actually, these are actually mild ones compared to the ones that we have discussed. Here, they don't go into people's ball sacks or the crack of their ass or anything like that.
Oh.
No, it's about the
crack of
the
ass.
No, it's about the actual.
I love the way you say that.
It's in the crack of your ass.
It's about what happens on the actual gym floor.
Oh.
Now, are you guilty of any of these things? Not putting away your equipment.
Yeah, I was training next to Meghan Markle the other day. And she's dropped her weights like down hard on the ground. She's like, and they fell on the ground and made this huge noise.
Meghan Markle,
from Suits.
Yeah, sure. Because you know, a lot of people think that, there's gym staff. That's what they're there for. Why must I pack away my equipment?
That is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with that.
Have you seen a lot of the gym staff? They weigh about 60 kilograms, and those big guys drop 60 kilogram dumbbells. Imagine picking yourself up with one arm.
And also, I'm sick and tired of walking around. I try to go when the gym's not so busy, and I have to walk around to try and find the weights I'm looking for. If I'm looking for an 18 kilogram dumbbell put, and I'm looking around, and it's been sitting under some bench that a guy vacated 20 minutes ago, he could have put that back. I put them back. It's probably a little bit more exercise that you might do well with. You know, if you're there to exercise, may as well go the whole hog. Ben looks like the kind of person who might leave his equipment lying around.
No, not at all.
Really?
I don't leave things around when I go to someone else's house either.
Yeah.
I was brought up right, Gareth.
Okay. By the wolves.
By the wolves. The wolves taught you things.
The wolves taught him things, Shem. Well, what about wiping down the equipment? Because, depending on how hard you're working, you might be sweating all over that elliptical trainer or the bike. You know, you might be dripping yourself onto this equipment. So do you wipe it down when you're finished using it?
Revolting.
Now, Gareth, you're a bit of a germaphobe. I imagine you wipe everything down before you start using it.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if you want to cover yourself, then you should probably wipe down the equipment before you start using it anyway, because you never know.
Never know.
Who was previously sweating all over that...
The filth.
That rowing machine. This is one that I particularly hate. When people make small talk with you while you are sweating and heaving and panting and gasping for breath.
You are not there to make friends.
No, I am not.
Right.
I am here to suffer through torture, and now you want to come up and start making small talk with me. No. Don't talk to me when I'm in the gym. Don't talk to me.
Yes.
Headphones.
Headphones, exactly.
All right.
Apparently, coming to the gym when you're ill is considered bad etiquette because...
Bloody right.
Yes, you're going to be spreading your germs and your viruses.
Oh, it's worse. And then you steam, you're in the steam room, and then in comes Coffee McCoffer Face.
And Meghan Markle did that as well. She coughed in my face the other day going up the stairs.
Oh?
Yeah. Wow. Really?
And I said, that's no way for you to behave if you're going to be a princess.
Sure.
You've been having unfortunate encounters with Meghan Markle.
She's so common.
And then lastly, hogging the equipment. I mean, come on, my guy. We're all here to use the facilities together. Don't hog the equipment.
Yeah. Those people who take a whole array of stuff and they arrange it around them. Like they're going to play a game that's all on their own. No one else is in the gym. I'm going to need that barbell, those dumbbells. I'm going to need these free weights. I'm going to need that bench. And then I'm going to have a little step as well. I'm going to do everything right here, and I'm going to take everybody else's equipment.
And I actually feel like a 40-minute run on the treadmill today, even though it says 20 minutes limit on the machine.
And I'm here at peak time.
So I am going to keep on running for 20 more minutes, even though there's a queue behind me.
Yeah.
But also just like general use of phone. There's nothing worse than... You get a butt who's just dropped a ton of weight, eh? And now he's on the phone talking about, like...
Loud.
Just bullshit, but he's always loud.
Yeah.
Loud.
And it's like, I don't know, I've never taken a phone call after really pushing heavy weights, but does it make your voice go louder? I mean, I don't know if there's a correlation between the two. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
No.
It's just, it's annoying.
All right. And a lot of these guys, they drop their weights really loud because they're looking for attention. They want you to know how heavy the weights are they've been using. Dummies. All right, there we
evidently
go.
Evidently, gym life is nothing like a Madonna music video.
No, it is not pretty.
Oh, never mind.
There's
then.
Nothing sexy about a gym. Nothing.
I don't relate.
It's a disaster. It's a bun fight.
A bun fight.
Everyone's trying to get the equipment. Everybody's. It's all about them. They want their space. It's heavy. I mean, especially in the busy gyms at the peak time. Disaster. All right, when we come back, Chantal Lascaris, she's put out a new book, which is available in stores now. It's a great gift for Christmas. Stocking stuffer! Yes, it's a book about all kinds of healthy dishes that you can eat and you can make. Remember, her first book was called All Sorts of Salads?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bought one of these new books and one of the old books, and I'm going to be giving them to some people I care about over the holidays as Christmas presents. Maybe you should think about that too. We'll find out what's in her book. And then to continue this discussion around eating, our guest after 8 o'clock, Professor Tim Noakes. Many people have been waiting for this for a long time. So we'll talk a little bit to him about what he thinks is healthy and all the controversies. So hang on for that one. But Chantal Lascaris next. All right, how do you like that? It's called Bones by Oliver Coledzi. And I bet you that's not Oliver Coledzi singing, it's someone called HVOB. How do you like that?
HVOV.
HVOB. No, what's the bit that she's not going to be remembered very well after this
song? Yeah. Also, she might as well be a type of STI.
No.
I contracted HVOV. No.
All right, we're going to focus on all kinds of healthy things. Chantal Lascaris has just brought out a book called All Sorts of Healthy Dishes. Her previous book is called All Sorts of Salads. Do you remember when we spoke to her about it not so long ago?
Yes.
I have all sorts of salads, and I often look at it when I'm looking for inspiration. See, the problem is that a salad can be very boring, and Chantal decided to hell with boring salads. We're going to find ways of doing them in a more interesting way. So she revolutionized. That's the only book in South Africa about salads. Am I right? That's still the only book in South Africa about salads.
That's dead right.
Yeah, exactly. And so you decided, well, look, these idiots out there, they need more because salads, I mean, I'm one of the idiots. The salads are not enough. We need all kinds of healthy dishes because you love making these, you love coming up with these recipes, you love putting them together, you love entertaining people. It's something that you do anyway. And you thought, you know what? There might be people who could benefit from this. because we're all looking for new ideas. It can get very boring in the kitchen. And if you don't find new and inspiring ways to do interesting stuff and healthy stuff,
indeed,
it all falls down, right?
That's great. I think also for me, what was part of the inspiration of writing the second book was every time I went to the Mediterranean, which I was lucky enough to do, every time I came back from a trip from a country along the Med, I came back feeling better. And I kept, and I didn't
More energy.
More energy. I felt healthier.
Looking better.
I had eaten a lot. I had drunk a lot, I must admit. But I still came back feeling healthy and I hadn't put on a lot of weight. Because normally you come back from a holiday and you go, oh, I've put on 5 kilos or 10 kilos or whatever it is.
Because people overindulge on a holiday.
Overindulge. Right. And I came back and I couldn't understand why I kept feeling so good when I came back. So I started investigating the whole Mediterranean diet, as it's called. Although it's not really a diet, it's a lifestyle or a way of eating.
Well, what do they have and what do they do right that we don't?
I think the one big thing is that they eat a lot more fruit and vegetables. Right. And I know South Africans, that's quite a hard thing to do. We love our red meat.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat very small amounts of red meat. So, because obviously there, it's quite hard to, along the Med, if you think about it, where do you graze cattle?
Yeah,
where do you raise cattle? Sure. They eat like 15 kilos of grass a day. There isn't that kind of vegetation there.
Right.
So they're eating things more like lamb and they do eat a bit of pork. So their red meat consumption is quite small. And I think that's one of the tough things as for us as South Africans, because we're such big red meat eaters. But the veggies, I think, is really what it is. Also,
you're talking Ben's language. He likes this.
And right, also, Ben? They use olive oil. I mean, if that's the main source of your fat would be an olive oil rather than butters. And
which everybody says is the most healthy way you can have fat, right?
Exactly.
So they do. They put olives in things. They use a lot of veg. They use a lot of fruit. I mean, when I think of Mediterranean food, I think of the best food of all.
I kind of call it the sunshine cuisine.
Oh.
Because when you see the colors and the vibrancy of it. Every time you go into a market and you see this beautiful display of food, it's just beautiful to look at. All you want to do is actually consume it.
So it's partly for people who just want to eat healthy stuff.
Correct.
But interesting healthy stuff. And it might also just be for people who are looking for a little variety. Because, again, even if you are a red meat eater and you're one of those South Africans who likes to braai, you can't braai every day.
Exactly. And I think also what happens with one of the things that my book does is really there just to inspire you to look in your cupboard, look in your fridge, see what's in the recipe and come up with your own things. So often you see combinations and you think, gosh, I hadn't thought of something like that. And a lot of people have come back saying that it's so nice to see different combos here. I also use a lot of things like lentils and chickpeas, and people go, gosh, I never thought of using that as well. And that's a nice inexpensive way also of actually sort of bulking up your meal.
So if you had to choose, because the Mediterranean is a vast area, you've got different kinds of food along the Med. I mean, there's Spanish, there's Italian, there's French, there's Croatian, there's
Turkish,
there's Greek,
and I've put and also
Israeli, Moroccan. I mean, there's so many things that we've got along the Med that are very different. So if you had to choose, if I had to put a gun to your head and say you have to eat one country's dishes for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would probably say, I would maybe say Turkish. I've got to know a lot of the Turkish food.
Tell me about Turkish food. I don't know much about that.
It's
never been to Turkey.
Funny enough, the Turkish food is very similar to the Greek food, so I'm covering my bases here.
Right, okay.
So it's the Turkish food, the Greek food, very similar to the Israeli food, similar to the Lebanese way of eating.
Yeah.
So, and also the good thing about it is that so many of the ingredients actually are from a lot of countries around the Med. We can actually get in South Africa.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm actually saying it's such a good way of eating, because it's not exotic food that we have to find. If you have to follow an Asian type diet in South Africa, it's a lot harder. You'd have to go to specialist places to get the food. But 9 times out of 10, everything in my book you will find you already have, either in your fridge or in your cupboard.
And you mentioned earlier it's a lifestyle. So the thing that the Mediterraneans get right too is that they're never in a hurry.
Exactly. They enjoy their meals.
Right. The meal is an occasion that can go on for hours, where you've got family and friends and wine and everybody's having a good time and it's very relaxed. In South Africa, it's almost like you have to get that meal done and you have to do it at this time, and then you must eat as quickly as you can because you've got other things to do afterwards. And We can't live like that, right? And now going into December, this is the perfect time to be doing things the Mediterranean way.
Exactly. I think it's a perfect opportunity for families in general to actually bond, because we're not spending enough time together. I think it's great if you can make every meal an occasion where you sit together with your children, you switch the phones off, they're banned from the table, mm-hmm. and you actually communicate with each other, find out about what happened in your day. And I think that's part of what makes it, or takes away the stress.
Now, can you cater with your book and your dishes? Can you cater for a lot of people?
Very much so, because also you can do lots of small dishes, like meze, we call it meze, or things like you. A lot of people know that word. Mm-hmm. So you can either do lots of small dishes, or you can just double up on the dish. It's nice and easy.
I went to a Greek party on Saturday night.
Did you break plates?
No, but we ate and ate and ate. There was so much food, and it wasn't like there was ever going to be a chance of anything running out.
No, they love their food, and I think that's what it's all about, is enjoying what you have in front of you.
All right, so let's just talk about the Greek food for a second. And I'm surprised you're even in Johannesburg, because usually you're all over the place. Where I thought you'd be in Europe now, or exotic place. So okay,
I'm chasing the sun.
Yeah, right.
I'd rather be here.
So what's next on your agenda, first of all, for going somewhere, and where are you still headed in the next couple of months?
Well, for now, we've got the December holidays coming up, right. So we're going to be going down to Sedgefield, where Miss Universe came from.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, now we can officially state and claim.
Can you believe it? So we'll spend a couple of weeks there with family and friends.
Nice.
And enjoy the sunshine.
And do you genuinely enjoy, when you have things like that coming up in December, you enjoy the fact that all these people are going to come and you're going to be able to make some fantastic food for them?
Definitely. It's wonderful because in Sedgefield, it's quite a small little town, so we don't have a Woolworths or anything fancy.
Oh,
so
do you go to the market?
There's the fantastic market in Sedgefield.
Really?
Called Wild Oats.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very popular. People come all the way from Plett to visit it, and it's got an incredible food market.
Wow.
Where you can get a lot of organic food, just fresh fruit and veg. And it's,
so you can tell the real foodies because they're the ones who go to those markets.
Exactly. Although, obviously, in December, it's everybody's there. So you've got to get there at 7 o'clock in the morning. But generally, it's a good place to be. And that's part of with my book. It's so nice because, you know, there aren't great places to eat out. There's only a few of them. So you have to cook at home and you have to enjoy what you have. So, you know, the recipes from our book are perfect for something like that.
Tell me about some of the recipes, because people will want to know, like, give us examples of what your favorite things in the book are, and stuff that you came up with that you think is completely original, that people might not have thought of.
Okay, so one of the things is for summer now, when it's so hot, is to have, there's a soup in here called a watermelon gazpacho.
Wow.
So most people don't think of watermelon into a soup. It's watermelon and beetroot. So that's a lovely, refreshing thing to have when it's hot.
It almost sounds like a smoothie.
Well, kind of, yeah. Huh. I mean, what is a smoothie? It's a soup.
It is a soup.
Under a different name.
Right.
So that's great.
And you can serve that cold.
Nice. And then from some other appetizers, there's a...
And watermelon is so South African,
it's so South African. It's wonderful. Again, that's something that I discovered in Seville, actually. And you kind of think, well, watermelon's there, but that's...
Seville's famous for its oranges.
For its oranges. So I actually have a lovely orange chicken recipe in the book as well, which is, again, more like... A lot of them also almost like salads, mm-hmm. and making your main courses more like a salad as opposed to just heavy with... You kind of think of heavy veggies in it, but it's not like that at all.
Again,
most of the veggies
not,
are served at room temperature.
Right, so and if you're having an active, busy December where there's a lot of entertaining, a lot of things going on, then you don't want heavy meals because it makes you tired and lazy.
And you don't want to have to be spending all the time in the kitchen while everyone else is having a lot of fun.
Mm. Or spending all the money buying the red meat, which is increasingly expensive, right?
Exactly. Well, that's why I put in a tin of chickpeas or some lentils and it fills it up and it makes it a lot more reasonable.
Right. Ben, have a look through that book. You're going to find something you like, I guarantee.
It does look good. It's like that cover you have in your kitchen and you're just about to make something unhealthy and you look at the book and it's like, actually, no. Let me do better as a human.
It's called All Sorts of Healthy Dishes. It's a follow-up to All Sorts of Salads. How did All Sorts of Salads do, and is it still available?
It's still available, and it's still doing really well.
Okay, where can we get them?
It's at Exclusive Books and lots of leading booksellers and a couple of more specialist shops like Vendange, which is a home decor shop. They're stocking both of the books also.
Yeah, I hope it goes really well. It's a terrific book. I bought one or two for...
Thanks for your support.
No, sure. For people who in my family love cooking and who want to have a variety of recipes and exciting things to make. Because it can be very dreary in the kitchen sometimes. Well,
cooking can be a drudge thing. You know, if you're the main person doing the cooking every night or every day, it's you need to be inspired every now and again.
So, Gareth, have you progressed from your famous avocado and tomato that you would chop up and then call a salad?
Okay, so you embarrass me. Tell Chantel
what you mean. At least it doesn't have lettuce in it.
Tell Chantel what you mean.
No, I mean, this is
I was so proud of myself.
You were so proud of yourself until the time that you almost chopped your finger off.
Getting the pip out of an avo.
That is something else, yeah.
So I made the salad. It was just tomato and avo. With a whole lot of salt and pepper and some balsamic vinegar on it. My favorite thing in the whole world. I could eat that day and night, and I'd be very happy.
Yeah.
Well, it's healthy.
These people, all they did was mock me from morning till night.
Listen, I mean, the reason that I mocked you was because you were just so proud of this creation, and I thought
I was so original. Like,
Now, are there any strict rules about what qualifies as a salad? Like, does it have to be minimum 3 ingredients for it to qualify? Or, I mean, could it be just literally one ingredient and that's a salad?
And actually, in the book, there are quite a few there, which is actually just 2 ingredients. Oh. So things like chopped
tomato
up tomato.
And avo, for example.
Well, instead of doing the
it
avo,
qualifies,
just do,
my buddy. Yeah. I hope you're listening.
Okay. Well, that would qualify as a salad. What I would do is maybe throw in some fresh herbs into something like that.
Okay.
Put some basil in there, and the balsamic is perfect.
See, a bit of higher grade, but this is why I learned.
Yeah. And if you don't have fresh, then a bit of dried herbs, there's nothing wrong with that.
But
as
you
well.
Also have salads with some meat in them.
Yes, I do. Because, I mean, we are meat eaters. So I'm not going to bring a book out that doesn't cater to 90% of the people. It's just trying to find other things to serve with it. I think that's what's important. Is also when you're at a braai and you say, everyone says, "Oh, well, can you bring a salad?" I mean, your heart just sinks because you know. And you think, I don't really want to eat another lettuce, tomato, cucumber salad with feta cheese.
With feta,
For the person who brings it, keeping those lettuce leaves from getting all wilted and sad.
And there's warm nothing, in the sunlight.
Yeah,
and it's been sitting
worse,
there for ages.
There's nothing worse than a warm, wilted salad. It's just so unappetizing.
Well,
right?
That's actually part of the reason where the birth of the first book came from is because I don't really like lettuce. So I had to come up with other ideas on what made up a salad because I thought I just can't eat another, as we said, tomato, lettuce, cucumber salad. So I started coming up with other recipes and other ideas. And that's how it all started because there has to be more than lettuce.
There's got to be more to life than lettuce. Are there any exotic ingredients in here that you discovered or that you hadn't known about before that you'd started using and now that you love?
Not really, but I think one of the things that I have used that people have enjoyed is I enjoy pepper juice. Mm. And it's a South African invention.
They don't exist anywhere else.
And it really adds like a little bit of a zing into a salad or, you know, a main course. So that's one of the ingredients that's not strictly Mediterranean, but it works really, really well.
All right, so make sure you get this book. It's a nice Christmas present. It's called All Sorts of Healthy Dishes. It's a follow-up to All Sorts of Salads. Why don't you do yourself a favor and buy both?
Oh, my gosh. I love the introduction because you list all these things that you recommend. Replace butter with olive oil, limit red meat, use herbs and spices to flavor, and then right at the end, drink red wine.
Yes,
please. Yes. I do say in moderation.
Oh, we
I have to
may
put that in.
Skip that word.
Don't be so disciplined.
Fine. All I saw was drink red wine. I'm in.
All right, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Chantel.
Thanks for having
it's
me.
Always nice to see you, and best of luck with this book, as with the previous one. Let's all eat healthily over the holidays, not overdo it.
Thanks very much.
Because, you know, you meant to come back in January and feel better, not worse.
Exactly.
You meant to be rested and healthy, not miserable.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, Sia.
I know. I'm trying to keep my bunt size.
Sia was eating. You were one of the people having McDonald's yesterday, right?
Well, you know. You know, really counts that. Much. I don't know.
It's all right. You are allowed an indulgence every now
but
and then.
But I'll
just have a salad at night.
Yeah. I'm a better host. I prefer hosting, not being in the kitchen. So we'll find a healthy balance
find
with
balance.
The two. Exactly.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, Chantel. Coming up in a moment, Tim Noakes, who's probably one of the most controversial people when it comes to food. Ironically, we ended up having him on the same day as Chantel. And although you will find things in his advice that you may agree or disagree with, he's just put out a book called The Lore of Nutrition, L-O-R-E of Nutrition. So that interview is coming up next. CliffCentral.com. Let's get to the unnews and see what the most important headlines are that you should be paying attention to today. Are you ready? Here it is. First of all, recent rains have seen Capetonians suddenly forget there's a water shortage. Helen Ziller was quick to say that she is not one of those water wasters and is proudly still bathing in the river that runs past her house. Ziller's bathing is actually starting to draw quite a crowd, with the Men's Bridge Club from the Newlands Rotary Club often finding themselves walking past at the exact time that Helen goes for a swim. Bitcoin continues to surge so much that it's now surpassed CrossFit as the thing white people are talking about without being asked about it. Such is the rapid rise of crypto that the subject of what private school you went to or where you went on summer holidays is hardly even making it into conversation with white people right now. Crypto, crypto, crypto. And finally, Alistair Coetzee was quoted saying the Bucks were moving in the right direction right now. He said this as the team approached the hotel buffet at breakfast yesterday, so whether or not he feels the team is making actual progress on the field remains a complete mystery. Tim Noakes, next, CliffCentral.com. Wednesday morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.